Welcome to another episode of Our Interesting Times. My guest tonight is Robert David Steele. Robert is a former CIA spy with several years of experience in counterterrorism and the co-founder of the Marine Corps Intelligence Activity. With 40 years' experience across all aspects of intelligence, he is also the most published advocate of intelligence reform. He has spent the last quarter century trying to return the craft of intelligence to its roots, advocating open source intelligence in support of promoting peace and prosperity. Robert is a former Reform Party presidential candidate and a sharp critic of the current two-party tyranny. His blog, Phi Beta Iota Public Intelligence Blog, covers many topics of significance, including the deep state, false flag operations, elite pedophilia, and the rigged electoral system. Robert, how are you doing?
I am doing great. Glad to be with you.
Well, thanks for being on the show. And, well, we got, you know, of course, we've had some developments. Of course, we had the election, but we've also had another scandals and breaking stories. I mean, you've talked a lot about these things. But first thing, we have this developing Pizzagate, or now it's Pedogate scandal, and, the issue of fake news. What's your take on this?
Well, Pizzagate is very, very real. And it's also it's fascinating to me because in 2016, we saw two big things happen. The first was that the public began to realize that the media and the U.S. intelligence community are all about fake news, false narratives. That's something that Noam Chomsky, Ed Herman wrote about in Manufacturing Consent. It's something that John Rappaport is absolutely the best investigative journalist writing about it now. But for the first time in history, not only did we have leaked emails that really exploded public consciousness on the depravity within our elites, including Podesta, but also we had the Pizzagate story, which is really about citizen investigative journalism. What happened was that the elites and their lead surrogates have been so blatant with their code words and their posted images on Facebook and elsewhere, that they've left a trail of breadcrumbs that you could march an elephant herd through. And so for me, Pizzagate was the first instance of citizen intelligence journalism coming to the fore in a very effective way. And then, of course, it right away demonstrated that Facebook, Google, Twitter, and YouTube were all working for Wall Street. They're all part of the establishment. They are all quick to censor, just as they censored in Hillary Clinton's favor and against Donald Trump. So for me, Pedogate is the beginning of the end of the deep state, and it is the beginning of the end of Wall Street's control of the American presidency and the American economy.
Would it be fair to say that the meme or term fake news is kind of like the new conspiracy theory that the CIA propagated in the 1960s?
Well, yes and no, with a big difference. I worked for the CIA, as you know, and I was one of their covert action specialists at one point. The CIA absolutely did develop the conspiracy meme to marginalize the people who were onto the truth about the John F. Kennedy assassination. I've reviewed over 10 books and one DVD on the JFK assassination, and it's now known that JFK was assassinated by a cabal that was led by Alan Dulles of CIA. CIA was created by Wall Street to create its secret foundation in the deep state. And J. Edgar Hoover, who was himself a pedophile and cross-dresser who accepted small boys from the mafia's gifts. So conspiracy theory was the first time that someone tried to create a meme to marginalize people. Fake news is a sword with two edges. The difference between fake news and conspiracy theory is that we, the people, are turning around and saying the Washington Post, the New York Times, the crap news network, even Fox News, they're fake news, which is what John Rappaport and many others have been saying. Basically, the media today, including the progressive media, I want to call out Rolling Stone, Mother Jones, Truth Out, Slate for being absolute crap. And of course, the Huntington Post is beneath contempt. So everything that we're being fed, including in our schools, John Gotti's written a wonderful book called Weapons of Mass Instruction. Everything is there to keep us entertained and stupid. And what's happening with the internet very slowly, I have to give Micah Sifry great credit for a book he wrote called The Big Disconnect, Why the Internet Hasn't Fixed Politics Yet. We still don't have the tools. We still don't have enough people with the critical thinking abilities, but I see that a lifeboat has been launched. So the difference between conspiracy theory and fake news is that now we, the people, are turning around and putting a microscope on both the secret intelligence community, which I have slammed with two memos in Global Research on their fake news, their lies, basically. The Russians did not hack the election. And for the first time, I think we have it in our power to bury the secret intelligence community, the mainstream media, including the so-called mini-me progressive media, which is absolutely worthless, and our politicians who are being blackmailed. And we can talk about that some more.
Yes, that is an important thing, because the weirdness of the Pizzagate scandal turns a lot of people off because they're just not familiar with it. But those familiar with the issue of pedophilia and sexual blackmail and its role in politics recognize the patterns here. I mean, we have the Franken scandal, the Finders case. We have the Marc Dutroux affair in Belgium, and that involved NATO. But the role that human trafficking plays, the Denny Hastert scandal, where he went to jail for financial chicanery, but he was exposed as a pedophile, and he was the third most powerful man in the country, supposedly. He was a predator pedophile. What role does pedophilia in particular play in politics and sexual blackmail?
Well, let me say a couple of things. Number one, the Democrats and the Republicans are one bird, two wings, same crap. There is no difference between the Democratic side of the establishment and the Republican side of the establishment. They are one team that tries to fool the public by wearing different colors so that there's this semblance of competition. Although John Podesta and the Democratic pedophiles were outed in this last go-around, I will tell you from my personal experience, I believe the Republicans are at least three times more depraved than the Democrats. For the Democrats, it's an acquired taste. For the Republicans, it's core. And I single out Rance Priebus, the former, actually still the head of the Republican Democratic Committee, and the so-called designee for Donald Trump as chief of staff. But there are many of us that believe that Rance Priebus is a traitor who is betraying Donald Trump. He's a spy for the establishment, and Donald Trump has to literally stop Rance Priebus from entering the White House on Inauguration Day. Pedophilia is one of many ways in which people are blackmailed. I do a shout out to Wayne Madsen, former naval officer, one of America's great investigative journalists. He recently published a piece on how the CIA has been blackmailing John McCain and Lindsey Graham, to which I would also add Marco Rubio. The intelligence community has the dirt on everybody. And one of the reasons it has the dirt on everybody is because the dirty little secret of the national intelligence community is that its top priority target at all times is U.S. politicians. Russ Tice, one of the NSA whistleblowers, has come out and said that when Barack Obama was a junior senator, NSA had every single communication and screen he ever touched. And he's been under strict surveillance by NSA as president, and he knows it. But he's hiding that. Everyone is making this big scandal about the Russians hacked the election. That's absolute nonsense. The Russians, as did the Chinese, the Israelis, the French, the Germans, and NSA, were reading everything. But they did not leak insider emails. That was done by insiders. And I cite in one of my articles on the Russians did not hack, I cite 29 people, including Barack Obama, who say publicly with evidence that the Russians did not hack the election. So pedophilia is the lowest of the depravities for which people are blackmailed. They're also bribed. There is a huge fund of money that is provided by the Saudi Arabians and the Israelis, as well as Wall Street. And of course, we have campaign contributions, which are quid pro quo, pay to play stuff. And you have the Clinton Foundation. My bottom line here is that every single member in Congress is either being bribed or blackmailed or both. And Donald Trump's highest priority, which we'll talk about later, is to free those members from both of those predations against the members. Pedophilia is much, much more widespread than people realize. The FBI has a pedophilia protectors cabal that each generation recruits the next. It also has an Opus Dei and a Zionist cabal, all of whom exist to protect the evildoers who are committing treason across the U.S. government. So pedophilia is the worst of the blackmail bribery menu. And I really want to stress that I think in 2017, Julian Assange has said he is going to make it even more interesting than 2016. I am quite certain that in 2017, Rents Priebus and the Republican Party are going to go down. I use the term advisedly, based on emails that are leaked that absolutely due to Rents Priebus, what was done to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and John Podesta, and due to the Republican Party, what was done to the Democratic Party. The two-party tyranny is going down.
Now, you've mentioned the Clinton Foundation and of course, the scandals that were revealed by WikiLeaks regarding Hillary Clinton, her campaign, and the Clinton Foundation, the pay-to-play and these things. Now, the Clinton Foundation has been implicated in human trafficking through, I guess, this Laura Silsby, and she got caught down in Haiti trying to kidnap 33 children. And how the Clinton Foundation and Hillary is very concerned at her case, and also through her aide Abedin, Wiener's wife, and apparently she's been an aide for Hillary Clinton since she was 19 years old or something, which is rather strange.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's something odd going on there. Of course, that whole situation is strange. It gets strange as you look into it. The Clinton Foundation, looking at the Clinton Foundation, and if you examine the various scandals, what is that a window into the global economic global power structure?
It is. The short answer is yes. I mean, the Clinton Foundation is the single most blatant, largest charity fraud in the history of humanity, outside of the Red Cross. They have taken billions and billions of dollars. And their last tax return showed that they gave $5 million away. Everything else has gone to them. Now, Charles Ortel has done a phenomenal job of laying out all of the indications that the Clinton Foundation is the single largest charity fraud in modern American history. And again, I have to say that all charities, including the Red Cross, are scams. They basically spend most of their money paying themselves and raising funds, and they do token outlays. Katrina was a particularly terrible example of the Red Cross raising money allegedly for the Katrina victims that then did not, in fact, get to the Katrina victims. Haiti was a similar example in which the Clinton Foundation and the American Red Cross were both guilty of massive wire fraud and false statements to the public, resulting in almost no aid being given to Haiti. So at one level, the Clinton Foundation is massive fraud. At another level, the Clinton Foundation was a form of treason. There is absolutely no question. And in fact, the Wiener laptop that the New York Police Department confiscated and that the FBI then promptly sequestered had clear evidence of the pay-to-play, which is treason, in which the Saudis paid Clinton and purchased American blood, treasure, and spirit in the form of regime change in Syria and the arming of Saudi Arabia so that it could destroy Yemen. And both of those countries are about Saudi Arabian power and Saudi Arabian pipelines, one to the north west through Syria, the other one to the southeast through Yemen. So Hillary Clinton is probably America's most well-paid traitor in modern history, along with her husband. And people forget that under the Clinton co-presidency, and it was a co-presidency because Al Gore is a pussy. Al Gore was thrown out by Hillary Clinton of the offices reserved for the vice president in the old executive office building. She was the vice president. Al Gore was the wallflower. And under the Clinton co-presidency, the crime bill that they passed has put more black people in jail than there were slaves at the beginning of the Civil War, the War of Secession. So people don't understand that the Clintons have really done some very terrible, terrible things. Now, coming back to pedophilia, I want to say it's not just the Clintons. War is a profit center for Wall Street. And refugees as well as orphans are a profit center. One of the things that I've noticed is that there is this massive organized structure for sweeping into war zones and taking refugees out and bringing them to the United States at taxpayer expense. I'm personally offended that Vermont is being paid by the U.S. government with my tax dollars to take in refugees that have not been screened and that were created because of war actions by the United States of America. And then, of course, you have the children. You have the Haitian children that are being traced to not just pedophilia, but to satanic rituals and snuffing, where these children are killed and their blood is drunk. And this is insane stuff, but it's happening. It's happening. And I'm very satisfied that there is a massive growing literature. And what we lack so far, and this is my final point on the Clinton Foundation, what we lack so far is a Federal Bureau of Investigation that is allowed to do its job. The FBI has been a political football, and it has been hamstrung. It has not been allowed to go after what I estimate to be 500 traitors across the U.S. government. And I'm speaking about people with top secret, sensitive compartmented clearances who work everywhere, from the White House to the State Department to the Defense Department to the CIA and NSA, to the notably Israeli companies that provide the information technology support that allows Israel essentially to read every single message that the U.S. government reads. So the Clinton Foundation is the tip of the iceberg. And what I see happening now is people are starting to realize that every major institution in our country is corrupt to the bone, and the FBI is not being allowed to do its job.
Yeah, one observation with that is the regarding political pedophilia was the observation made by Sybil Edmonds and about regarding some of the sexual scandals during the Clinton-Monica Lewinsky affair, and how the Clinton administration ordered illegal wiretaps of various public officials as sort of a political counterattack during his impeachment hearings trial, and how under the guise of, law enforcement, they get the FBI to tap wire phones of people like Speaker House Livingston, who had to resign because of a sex scandal, some of the scandals regarding Henry Hyde and these things, and that was being coordinated at the time with Penthouse editor, Larry Flint said that he had a private intelligence network of detectives undercovering scandals of some of Clinton's detractors and critics. It turns out he is being fed information through his illegal wiretaps, and these illegal wiretaps uncovered a vast pedophile network.
Well, I have no doubt of that. And the key, there are a couple points to be made. First off, General Wesley Clark did a marvelous YouTube presentation on how we have had a foreign policy coup in the United States. And Americans need to remember, because most don't read enough, Americans need to remember that the Nazis did not lose World War II. They were rescued by Alan Dulles and the CIA. This is a story told in The Devil's Chessboard. The key Nazi leaders, not just Nazi scientists, and their treasure was extracted from Germany and brought to the United States, to Argentina, and several other places. And then with the gold that MacArthur captured from the Japanese and the Philippines, this is a story told in Gold Warriors, the CIA very deliberately funded the resurrection of fascism in Italy, Japan, and Germany. And they funded dictators like Sukarno, who would pay lip service to anti-communism while supporting the Wall Street agenda. I believe that we need to restore integrity to our government and to our intelligence community. I've become a huge believer in honest counterintelligence, and I think the FBI needs to be central to the future of a Trump administration, but it has to be cleaned up first. I am absolutely convinced that all of our public officials are being blackmailed as well as bribed. And that may well be the single greatest challenge to good government going forward.
Systemic corruption.
Well, it's systemic corruption based on the impunity. I mean, first off, you have the impunity of NSA being allowed to spy on every member of Congress with nobody saying, stop this. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the cool things, if I were advising President Trump, which I certainly am not, I mean, I've tried to support him ever since July of 2015, but everyone around Trump is blocking out voices like mine because they're part of the establishment. I mean, Rens Priebus is part of the establishment. Rens Priebus is not Donald Trump's friend. Rens Priebus is, if anything, a traitor sitting next to Donald Trump. And I suspect Trump has a good idea that this is the fact, but I think he needs to have a clean break and have people around him that are not part of the establishment that he can trust to move forward.
This is similar maybe to what Kennedy faced when he had his, I guess, his revelation, what he was dealing with. Sort of he's surrounded by, you know, brass hats, Praetorians, and gangsters.
It wasn't just Kennedy. It was Khrushchev. It's funny. I had this conversation with my son who was thinking about what major to have in college. And his best friend is a history major, and he didn't think much of that. I said, hey, history is how we figure out the truth. Because history is how you eventually discover all of the treason that was taking place. It turns out that Khrushchev and Kennedy were trying to have a conversation at the same time that the generals in Russia and the generals in America were both trying to have a nuclear war. We're in that position right now. This whole thing about the Russians hacked the election is a combination of the Clinton camp and the Democrats still being in denial over the fact that a whole bunch of seriously pissed off white people came back out of the woodwork, and the fact that many blacks, to their credit, finally realized that the Democratic Party was taking them for granted at the same time that they were being screwed by being sent to prison under the Clinton crime bill. So I've written about this in my Kindle, which is also free online, called Donald Trump, the Accidental President Under Siege. It's probably my best work in the last several years, and it's free online if you don't like Kindle. Donald Trump, the Accidental President. We have got to clean up our country, and I think you start by doing that with electoral reform.
Yeah, you mentioned, I mean, you alluded to this prison. This is part of the privatized prison project where these companies are paid if they maximize occupation of the cells. So there's a built-in incentive to fill the prison cells, and also then that labor is sold as virtual slave labor, correct? Is that the business model?
That is absolutely correct. And I want to bring your readers' attention or your listeners' attention to a book called Nobodies, which is about slavery in America. We have basically three big types of slavery in the United States of America. The first is Asian textile workers. The second is Latinos who are imprisoned in large agricultural tracts, notably in Florida, as well as the West. And the third is the prison population. I mean, New York City spends $75 million a year putting blacks in prison for recreational marijuana offenses. And judges are being bribed to sentence people to prison who would otherwise go free. So I really am concerned that we have so many complexes. And the answer is simple. The answer is very simple. It really just demands that we, the people, insist on coming back into power. Most people don't realize it, but the two-party tyranny only has 30% of the eligible voters. The Democrats have 17%. The Republicans have 13%. Fully 70% of the eligible voters in America are completely disenfranchised. And of the totality of our voters, 47% chose not to vote at all in 2016, which is a number comparable to the past. Donald Trump is a fringe president, which is a term Rob Urey has used in a wonderful Counterpunch article. And I believe that Donald Trump is being betrayed by the Republican Party and by Rens Priebus specifically. And if Donald Trump doesn't wake up and realize that he needs to reconnect with the 70% that did not vote for him, then I anticipate that Trump will be assassinated, impeached, or driven to resign within the next 2 years.
Yeah, because if you look at his, I mean, you can comment on his cabinet appointments so far, Goldman Sachs and these Pentagon generals, right? So,
well, I've just published a piece, and I'd be very glad if your listeners chose to read it, because it's not only a piece in which I call out Rens Priebus for being a traitor, but the title of the piece is Robert Steele, Colin, Donald Trump's future - over Rens Priebus's dead body. And at the end of that piece, I have a summary. I have links to all of the major pieces I've written in support of Trump and on saving Trump. I have lost my train of thought. Come back to me.
You're talking about Trump in the.
I'm sorry. His cabinet. Okay. Let me give you my take on his cabinet. And again, I write a lot about this in Donald Trump, the Accidental President. The bookmakers gave Trump odds of 20 to 1 at best, 200 to 1 at worst to win. The bookmakers are not stupid. They know what they're talking about. And my Kindle, as well as my free online version of that Kindle on Donald Trump, the Accidental President, explains exactly how Donald Trump won. And it was by accident. Trump was not ready to win. He went to bed, as I did, thinking he had lost because the fix was in. Once he won, he scrambled. And I got to give the guy credit, because I've never in my lifetime seen anyone spend every waking hour of every single day since being elected actually working the cabinet and interviewing hundreds of people and so forth. Now, Trump has a problem in that he has a very narrow scope. The people around him have filters that exclude 70% of those of us who actually have something to contribute. However, I think to his credit, the cabinet that he has created so far, it's a business and military elite cabinet that replaces the political elite that would normally have been put in place by Hillary Clinton. The political elite that would have been put in place by Hillary Clinton would have been a rubber stamp elite for war. Hillary Clinton is a warmonger and a criminal, as well as favoring, as you alluded to, yoga instructors on the young side. There is a lot of evil there. Now, Donald Trump, I've seen three different reads on Donald Trump, and I just posted this post that I just did had the three different reads. The best case, which is the one I'm inclined to believe, is that Donald Trump's cabinet actually represents insiders who realize that they have to take down empire in order to save America. So the Goldman Sachs guys, the most positive interpretation possible is that they're the guys who know the pressure points with Goldman Sachs, who can help Donald Trump essentially renegotiate the relationship between America, Goldman Sachs, and the world. That's the most positive interpretation. The middling interpretation is that Goldman Sachs and the neo-Nazis, neoconservatives, including their intelligence community leaders that are absolutely impeachable for treason, in my view, they now feel like they've got enough people around Donald Trump, including Rens Priebus, who is my top priority for getting him off of the Trump team. And he's also the top priority for many others for being banished. They feel they've got Trump to where they can intimidate him and control him. Trump has made a mistake in accepting this notional idea that the Russians hacked the election. Even though he fought it for so long, he should never have backed down on that, because it's a lie. It's false. The evidence that was presented to him is false. William Binney, the guy who built the NSA system, Steve Przyjaciół, myself, Ray McGovern, former CIA guy, all of us have said very clearly the Russians did not hack the election. This is a classic case of Goebbels and telling a lie big enough and often enough so that most people believe it. Donald Trump needs to be strong. So that's the middle thing. The most negative thing is that no matter what Donald Trump does, the Republicans and the Democratic leaders together are already planning impeachment proceedings against him. And the end game is that Mike Pence will be left as president, and someone like Elizabeth Warren will be put in as the vice president, a so-called reconciliation ticket that essentially negates the election. It'll be a coup d'etat, and it will bury all possibilities of an Electoral Reform Act. I can't say this more strongly. Donald Trump has one shot at being the greatest president in American history, and that one shot is called the Electoral Reform Act of 2017.
Okay, now we're coming up on a half hour. Is it your preference to take a break and maybe extend the interview and maybe go into that?
It's up to you. I don't need a break.
Oh, okay. So that's okay. So let's talk about this. I mean, you've called him the accidental president. And on your website, you have a graph that shows preconditions for revolution in the United States.
Oh, you noticed that. Thank you.
And you have this, and you've said it before that right now the current elites are kind of like the Soviet nomenclature in the late Cold War period. They're clueless. But then you recognize within this elite, there could be this faction. They recognize that reform and change is necessary to avoid an all-out revolution and collapse. You want to get into that and how that factors into your idea for a constitutional convention and reform?
Ah, well, I have been calling for a constitutional convention. I think first off, I think most people on the left are simply stupid. They don't understand that the Electoral College was created precisely to keep California and New York from screwing up the country.
One of the best things about our political system is the Electoral College system, because it makes a country as large as ours politically manageable.
Well, it's not just that. It makes sure that the voices of what's called flyover country or the Rust Belt are heard. Mm-hmm. And I really am stunned at the idiocy and the ignorance on both the left and the right. America has become a dumbed down, obese public, and that's by design. So one of our priorities is to bring back a robust, independent minded, physically fit America, that will brook no nonsense from all these latte sucking liberals that have never worked for a living. I'm sorry. I had to get that out. It just seemed like the right turn of phrase. I was a Marine Corps officer. I've been a CIA spy. I've actually served my country. Most of these people have not. Most of these people have pretended to serve their country by sitting around and drinking coffee and posturing. The people who get their hands dirty are the people who should have the greatest voice at this time, the people who have lost their jobs. I did that graphic. My first graduate thesis was on predicting revolution, and it's an original work that's never been equaled. But it's also been ignored precisely because it cuts to the heart of the matter. At root, revolution is about being out of balance. At root, revolution is about ensuring that the public, which is the center of gravity for national power, that the public is politically, economically, socially, culturally, and physically fit. And if you screw 99% of the people 99% of the time, you are inevitably going to get a revolution. And it might be a revolution that starts with a plague, because the public becomes so debilitated that a massive disease starts out. I was first noticed in 2014 when Nafees Ahmed wrote a fantastic profile of me in The Guardian, in which he talked about how a CIA spy believed in an open source revolution. And that's what I'm about, an open source revolution. I'm like a converted Catholic, the spy who went straight. and the bottom line here is that we have been screwing our public, and the leftist element of the public has been given lip service, and they're just too stupid to realize. And the blacks, frankly, have been too stupid to realize that they're being faked out. You know, black people, although Donald Trump really lacks subtlety sometimes, I'm good friends with Cynthia McKinney, and I wrote a Kindle short, which is also free online, called Democracy Riots. We're all black now. Deal with it. The fact of the matter is that all white people now are being treated the way black people have been treated by white people for centuries. Mm-hmm. And that, for me, was a huge eye-opener. I mean, it was significant to me that I had to lose my business to government goons that couldn't compute 7,500 foreign contacts cheerfully declared when asked to do so. And that turned out to be a blessing. Although it's cost me $6 million, it opened my eyes and it liberated me to do some very good work, including my latest book, The Open Source Everything Manifesto. And what I think is happening now is that there is a war going on. For the first time in history, whites, blacks, Latinos, and Asians understand that they are the 99% and that it's Main Street versus Wall Street. And that is what George Soros is trying to cover up. All of the funding from the Soros campaign, all of the wedge issues, the gender gap, the love our transgenders, the bestiality is okay, it's fine to be a declared pedophile, which is the latest breaking news. This guy has come out and said, I'm comfortable with my pedophilia. This is all part of undermining the value system of the republic. This is all part of what Herbert Marcuse called repressive tolerance. When anything goes, nothing goes, and you've lost your spine. You've lost your moral center. I absolutely consider Soros to be a traitor who is trying to do in the United States what he has done across Eastern Europe with the so-called color revolutions. We have to get our national ethical compass back in order. So that revolution thing, which highlights, people can look up graphic preconditions of revolution and get right to it, basically highlights everything that's wrong with the country. Now, part of the problem with the U.S. government is that it doesn't make evidence-based decisions. Absent an Electoral Reform Act, the members will continue to make decisions based on who gives them a 5% kickback so that they can transfer money from the taxpayer to the special interests. We must liberate the members from their dependency on external financing. We must liberate the members from being blackmailed by CIA and NSA and the Israelis and the Saudis and others. It is absolutely certain in my own mind that America the Beautiful can be saved and saved quick if we put ethics back into our electoral system. Ethics and the electoral system are the center of gravity. Donald Trump, to his credit, talked about how we have a rigged system. But to his disgrace, he hasn't made that his single focus point. If I were his speechwriter, on Inauguration Day, the first sentence out of his mouth would be, the system is rigged and we're going to unrig it. And then he would introduce the Electoral Reform Act of 2017. Anything less than that is lightweight theater.
And you've also called for, I guess, a number of interviews I've seen advocating political decentralization.
Oh, well, let's talk about state rights and let's talk about constitutional convention. First off, we have had too many subversive elements undermining the Constitution. And among the things that we've done wrong, well, first off, we should never have allowed the Federal Reserve and the income tax. We are the United States of America, not the United Public of America. The federal government is supposed to be an administrative service of common concern. And in the end game, I see the federal government no longer having direct access to money. I believe all taxes should be eliminated. The automated payment transaction enacted, and the state should do the tax collection. And then the state should allocate funds to the federal government for those narrowly defined aspects that the states agree on. I don't think the federal government should be allowed to own land. I think all of the governors should begin a massive push to nullify federal land grabs and federal regulations across their states. And that should be the signal characteristic of the next 4 years. The Senate was originally designed in the Constitution to represent the states, and that got watered down, and the senators became elected by popular vote. That needs to be reversed. The 10th, the 14th, the 17th Amendments, the 1st, the 2nd Amendment, all of these need review. Now, Governor Abbott talks a good game, but he doesn't do much. He's called for a constitutional convention, but when I sent him a letter proposing that he sponsor a virtual constitutional convention right away in order to take the pulse of the people, I got a letter back from an idiot staffer that didn't understand what the word virtual meant. I don't make this stuff up, okay? Abbott has idiots working for him, which is no surprise because we tend to go to the lowest common denominator in government. Go ahead.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, you've mentioned that we've alluded to the electoral college system and how it's been abused recently by know-nothings and also cynics. Now, of course, the electoral college system, originally, the states would appoint the electors, and the electors would elect the president. Very few states had direct election. What's your opinion of maybe returning to that, where the states just appoint the electors, and we don't go through the hassle of a general election, and we can just have where the states actually appoint the electors that go and elect the president in December in Washington, D.C.? Have you given any thought to that?
Please say that again.
Where the electoral college system, the states are given plenary authority to choose the manner in which the electors are chosen. And we learned about this, many Americans learned about this in 2000 with the controversy regarding Bush Gore. But Florida, was about to appoint the electors to make sure that they had representation in the electoral college system. And the states are given plenary authority to decide the manner in which electors are chosen, meaning you don't have to have an election, a general election or an election at large to choose the electors. The states' legislatures, who are elected popularly, can appoint the electors who then elect the president.
I ran for president briefly in 2012. I was one of three people accepted to be a candidate for the Reform Party nomination, and I dropped out after 6 weeks because Andre Barnett had done his homework and done much more outreach than I had, and I respected his hard work and got out of his way. But I learned a lot. I mean, among the things I learned is how much I don't know. I was featured in On the Issues with Jesse Gordon, a marvelous resource for all citizens. And I've been asked about my political issues or my position on political and policy issues. And although I've written a number of books, and one of them, Election 2008, Lipstick on the Pig, has an entire chapter on policy positions, I have one policy position. Which is restore integrity to the electoral system and the U.S. government. Now, I absolutely believe in state rights and individual rights. I believe we need a constitutional convention, but I worry because we have such an idiot public.
Yes.
That until we educate that public up to a certain level, the chances of the public doing damage in a constitutional convention are very high.
Yeah.
This is one reason why I've recommended a Trump channel. I believe we should throw the press out of the White House. That's just wasted space on a fake news media.
Yeah.
We should throw the press out of the White House, and that space, which I've published online, if people look up Trump channel source Phi Beta Iota, they'll get right to it. That space should become a Trump channel in which we start producing educational half-hour shows that are then put out on YouTube, covering every cabinet department, all policies, all budgets, all issues. And we literally need to educate the public from the ground up, because 95% of everything published by the New York Times, the Washington Post, the crap news network, the so-called progressive media, particularly Rolling Stone and Mother Jones, which I used to think highly of, it's all crap. It's absolute crap. What you have is a whole bunch of underpaid, low-rent, youthful journalists that don't do their homework. These are people that have no idea about history. I was just reading something by Kimberly Dozier on intelligence, and it was absolute crap. I mean, she really had no clue what the past has been, what the present is, or where the future needs to go. These journalists they're writing snapshots that are so far out of context, they're worthless. They're a news hole. So if Donald Trump wants to be the greatest president in American history, then he has to do at least three things. And I published a spy's Christmas message to Donald Trump. I was very honored to have it not only in the Mind Unleashed, but at Zero Hedge. It's had over 250,000 views in the past couple of weeks. He needs to have the Electoral Reform Act so he creates his own power base above and beyond the two-party tyranny. He needs to have a Trump channel that begins to educate the public and completely bypasses the fake news media right now. The fake news media needs to learn how to do reporting. And oh, by the way, I would never spend a single penny transporting the national media anywhere. Donald Trump should be speaking to local media, and we should force the national media to start respecting local media.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other things. I think counterintelligence is the third big thing. Trump is surrounded by traitors. He's not safe in the White House. He is absolutely a target for assassination. He's absolutely a target for impeachment. He's absolutely a target for continuous slander and libel by people, including this idiot black congressman on CNN this morning who said that Donald Trump is not a legitimate president. I'm pretty sure that black congressman has no clue that Barack Obama was elected by 26% of the eligible voters and was not a legitimate president either, if that's your measure.
Yes.
Donald Trump has enormous potential, absolutely enormous potential. Right now, he has my prayers and he has the benefit of the doubt. But if he doesn't get rid of Rex Priebus and if he doesn't start thinking seriously about both counterintelligence and an Electoral Reform Act, then I believe he will be gone by 2018.
Now, to close this interview out, you've mentioned that what we need to do is also establish an exit strategy for the corrupt elite, a sort of a truth and reconciliation movement where they're given immunity for past crimes, but there's a full vetting and airing of past crimes and let them go off and maybe live on their estates and don't bother anybody anymore.
I'm glad you bring that up because I find when I appear on Rents.com and other places, I find that a lot of people come back in and push back on that. And they say, well, now, wait a minute. You know, when I break the law, I'm punished and we can't let them get away with it. OK, they don't understand the strategic importance of truth and reconciliation. First, let me single out Matt Taibbi's two great, great books, Griftopia and The Divide. The Divide is about one legal system for the rich and another one for the poor, which is to say a legal system for the 1% and a legal system for the 99%. You do not back jackals and hyenas with billions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of mercenaries at their beck and call into a corner. That's a lose-lose proposition. Truth and reconciliation is about a clean sheet, fresh start. And no amount of vindictive justice is going to make up for past crimes. Our focus of effort must be on neutralizing the elite, giving them an exit strategy, and then opening the door to creating infinite wealth for the 99%. Someone smarter than me wrote a book once that pointed out that if you confiscated all of the illicit wealth and all of the elite wealth in the world and then you handed it out, it would be the equivalent of a $5 bill. Call it a $20 bill today, okay? Given out to each of the 5 billion poor. The real center of gravity for peace and prosperity going forward is to get the truth at any cost on the table. And truth and reconciliation is how you do that. There's a wonderful CEO, Bob Seelert in New York, Saatchi & Saatchi. He likes to say, until you get the truth on the table, no matter how ugly it is, you can't deal with it. Well, what we have today is a public that knows perhaps 5% of the truth, whether it's extraterrestrials or underground tunnels or Pentagon waste or pedophilia, or the fact that the New York Times is the pedophilia protection center run by a BBC guy that protected James Seville when he was in the BBC. You know, all of this escapes the public. They're not willing to understand that 80% of what we think of as truthful is actually a lie and is inimical to the public interest. So we have some real challenges ahead of us. And I would say that if Donald Trump did three things, an Electoral Reform Act, a Trump channel, and restoring the FBI to where it should be, and James Comey still has a term to serve, and Comey has demonstrated that he can, in fact, be effective when he wants to be. So those three things, an Electoral Reform Act, a Trump channel, including an open source agency, which I've championed for 25 years. I'd certainly be glad if your listeners understood that the spy world provides less than 4% of what we need for senior officers and nothing for everyone else. I'm the former spy who invented the modern open source intelligence discipline. And at phibetaiota.net, they can learn all they want about OSINT done right and so forth. The bottom line here is that holistic analytics and true cost economics, people don't understand that most of what we produce in America today is 50 to 75% waste. We are literally killing the world. with our wasteful practices. And we're not creating a world that is sustainable for our children and our grandchildren. So these three things, an Electoral Reform Act, a Trump channel with an open source agency, and restored counterintelligence are, in my mind, the three things Donald Trump has to figure out before Inauguration Day.
Yeah, I think Catherine Austin Fitz calls it the tapeworm economy.
I think yes.
That's a good way to describe it. And as far as Truth and Reconciliation is concerned, I think it was, you know, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And just as a practical matter.
Yes, but the Lord was speaking metaphorically.
Yes. So my, the idea is that...
I just talked to him and he said, no, I didn't really mean that. And so, he said, God damn it, George Bush is still an idiot.
But the idea is that perhaps at some point you have to have some faith in cosmic justice and let God decide these things. And
That's a good point, because one of the things that I keep trying to remind those few elites that will listen to me is that public health was invented by the elites in New York City in the 1920s. When they discovered that infectious diseases were jumping out of the ghettos and killing the rich. All right?
Yes.
We are all one. And if the elites continue to screw over 99% of the people 99% of the time, they are going to die sooner than later. Not necessarily by our hand, because I'm a huge nonviolent guy. But they are going to die nevertheless from diseases and other things that will happen. The so-called globalist plan to eradicate 75% of the people on the planet, the so-called useless eaters, according to Henry Kissinger, is flawed in multiple ways, not least of which is that the one unlimited resource we have on Earth is the energy, innovation, and intellect of those 5 billion poor people. That cannot be understated.
Yeah, unleashing that.
Exactly.
Capital. Human capital is the ultimate capital.
Yeah. Human capital is the ultimate capital, and we have been doing everything possible to fence the commons and criminalize private behavior and use up the earth for short-term good. So I think all things being equal, I think that the accidental election of Donald Trump was the first station on the cross. And the next three stations are electoral reform, a Trump channel, and counterintelligence. And after that, let God decide. But the bottom line is we have to be more faithful to the public than to the party.
Yes. And call it enlightened self-interest, but somehow these people are realizing that at some point, yeah, they've gone too far. They need some retrenchment. And hopefully that there's an element within this elite that realizes this. And I think you mentioned that. You know, this sort of inclusive capitalist thing.
Well, you know, I like Lynn Rothschild. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize she's a babe from New Jersey who married well. Lynn Rothschild ran a conference on inclusive capitalism. And it was one of the first times when I realized that the Rothschilds may finally understand that they're a hair away from being assassinated, starting with their grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked one of my Chinese contacts in Singapore, I said, why haven't you guys assassinated the Rothschilds? It's too easy to do. And I got a very, very useful answer, which I'll point people to my website. They can just look up, why haven't the Rothschilds been assassinated? I think Lynn Rothschild has the power to save the world. And it's entirely possible that she offered Donald Trump a $20 billion bribe, which is loose change for her. It's very possible that Donald Trump may, if he has the right advising, understand that he can use Lynn Rothschild to save the world and to have a non-conflictual resolution with the 1%. But frankly, I'm a little troubled because even though he's got a great team around him, they seem to be lacking in that last 20% of imagination. And that's what I'd like to bring to his attention, because he needs to be president of all Americans, not just the 26% that elected him.
Yes, yes. Well, Robert David Steele, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I think you've offered some incredible and worthwhile insight into these very complex matters. And is there anything you want to leave us with? Is there anything project you're working on, or Am I listening?
I would say my dream in life is to create the Open Source Agency and to help Donald Trump survive the next 4 years. I would be very glad if any of your listeners or one or two people removed from the from Donald Trump Jr. or Ivanka or Kushner, because frankly, Rens Priebus is shutting out people like me. Mm-hmm. We are his worst nightmare because we understand that he's a traitor and he's not serving Donald Trump well.
He needs to listen to the deplorables.
I am proud to be a deplorable. In fact, I wrote a Kindle called Deplorables Rising, which I'm very proud of. It's part of my Trump Revolution series. We are the deplorables. We get our hands dirty and we care about what happens to this country.
Yeah, the kind of people that actually get things done, you know, actually go to work in the morning and fix the cars and pave the roads and build the bridges and make sure the, you know, that there's food in the grocery store. These, you know, actually work for a living, added value. These things, and they're heavily taxed and burdened now. So hopefully, yeah, you know, I think cautious optimism is the.
Well, we'll see. I mean, your listeners can subscribe free with no ads to phibetaiota.net. We publish three posts that are delivered by email three times a day, and that's it. And, of course, it's a massive archive in the public interest. You can search for anything there and get some iconoclastic insights, including pedophilia, the deep state, false flags, and whatnot.
Yes. I want to thank you for coming on the show again. I will make the links, and when I post the show, I will send you the link so you have access to it, quick access to it.
Well, that's great, Tim. I'm glad to have been part of this, and I wish you all well.
Good. Thank you, and, happy belated New Year. So there you go.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
so good.